listening to The Nasty Table,
the premier source for tabletop role-playing actual play. Now come on in, relax, and pull up a seat to The Nasty Table.
Amelia, she awake her. Can you grab her?
I'm right here, sweetheart.
I think they found my family.
Caleb.
Did she go out?
Sweetheart, you haven't a wife, you haven't any kids, and you're starting to frighten me.
Your wedding album.
It's right under your bed.
Look under the bed.
Empty.
Why'd we come here?
You said it was for work.
I didn't have a job till we got here.
Help. Get out. Names have a way of collecting dust. This is gonna go a little too far.
Because if I do it, I'm gonna kill him. And I don't want to do that with company.
You are not supposed to be here. You will not survive this. That's my final warning. Dude, I mean, I'm glad I realized it, like, then.
Yeah.
Instead of going through a whole nother thing. Alright,
I think the best you can do is just, like, we just do a detailed recap, and then just kind of, like, you just gotta be like, sorry.
So, there are a lot of benefits to recording at the table. We can go back and listen to them. We can reference them from time to time. But there is one downside to it, and it hasn't happened yet. This is session 52. 52 sessions that we have recorded flawlessly. Well, 51. So I don't know what to do. This fucking sucks.
It couldn't have been the episode where we went to the library and read books the whole fucking session.
But we fucked up. We made a mistake. We recorded 20 minutes of footage, not realizing that I had not selected the microphones at the table. So that audio is lost forever in the ether. I apologize, but I am human. And we all remember what happened, and we all had fun doing it. But I will pass it off to the players to recap what happened in those quick 20 minutes. We begun with Caleb in bed.
Yeah. Trying to cope with the news that he got. Trying to get a restful night's sleep, maybe, after everything that's happened.
Right. Roy, session before, left Caleb's house. Just kind of like speeding out away from Caleb's house. And instead of heading towards his house, he actually ends up speeding towards Weiss Clay's house. Goes into his house, untouched, grabs one of Weiss's shotguns, double barrel, side to side. Barrel situation, 12 gauge, takes it back to Caleb's house, pulls his cuffs out, and handcuffs Caleb, puts him back in his car, takes him to Roy's house, and they have a little slumber party together. They have a little sleepover where Roy makes sure that Caleb doesn't, you know, lose his marbles or go hurting anybody in his sleep.
Yeah. Caleb wakes up.
We should tell them about the chicken.
Oh, that's true.
I'm talking to you. Start walking towards the chicken.
Chicken goes flying across the room and its wings are like flapping and it like takes air for like a split second.
Yeah, that fucking chicken. So Roy's walking into his house with Caleb, cuffed. Front door opens, he hears scurrying, tapping on the floor, whatever. Opens the door, it's the fucking chicken staring directly at Roy, making complete eye contact. Face front, not moving a muscle. Roy steps towards the chicken. Chicken doesn't move. Roy steps towards the chicken. Chicken steps towards Roy. Roy kicks the chicken a little bit. He starts...
He really weren't just fucking...
We all were at states of exhaustion, including Roy. And I imagine with bloodshot eyes, he was starting a fucking fight with this chicken. Kicks the chicken. Chicken starts shuffling back towards Roy. Kicks the chicken again. Starts shuffling back. Eventually, Roy raises his hand vertically in the air and just bitch slaps the chicken. And the chicken flies like 10 feet across the room. And then it starts like bucking and kind of going about on its way. So yeah, that was the chicken fiasco. Then after that, I mean, it was essentially bedtime. Roy mm-hmm. brought Caleb to the guest bedroom, which is where Caleb slept. Roy passed out. And should we mention the
thing? Well, give me 1 second. Jerry also went home and went to sleep.
Yes, I did.
Had a short conversation with his wife in which she asked, "Are you going to be okay?" And you said, "I don't know. This is a tough case." Collapsed on the bed, went to sleep. I need everyone to leave the table except for Alex. Just to sum up this last couple of minutes.
Yeah, it's no biggie. I mean, I get it. I do.
How do you go 51 sessions doing it perfectly and then...
Right. When you do sound check, have you ever encountered, like, this problem while sound checking?
Never. Not once.
There you go.
What happened in the last few moments before we got back to this?
Yeah, so Roy, it's only the second night, really, where Roy and Weiss Clay are kind of one, and where Weiss is in Roy's head. Roy falls asleep and starts to dream that he's back in his house, essentially in his kitchen at the same table with Weiss, sitting at the table with him, and they have a summary of themselves, between themselves, about what they'd experienced meeting back up with Becker. One important thing is Weiss was rightfully suggesting the idea that RJ is not, like, why are you assuming that RJ is telling the truth about everything, Roy? Why would you be doing that? It's a very valid question. So, conversation wraps up with Roy and Weiss. Roy wakes up, and he realizes, lying in bed, he can focus his eyes a little differently, and he can feel a push and pull kind of in his head, and he realizes certain conditions have been met that now could allow Roy to channel between himself and Weiss at will versus before having to lose 2 points of sanity.
Yep. And then Roy woke up, went to check on Caleb. Caleb was still cuffed. Young cuffed Caleb. Had a small conversation. Caleb seems to be turning a corner in which he realizes that he can shape his own sense of self. And that is a little reassuring to him. But yeah. I want to apologize once more that, you know, that footage is lost. But hopefully this recap fills in the blanks a little bit. And we're going to start the session now. So, with the other three remaining members of the LFVCU bedding down, and with two of them waking up the following morning, we will jump over to our forgotten member. Ray, you are still in your double wide. You just finished having a conversation with RJ surrounding a killer.
Mm-hmm.
It's still around 4 o'clock in the morning for you, so I want to ask, what are you doing?
I'm going to take a look around the room, get a read on everyone. I know it's really late, but, you know, clearly RJ seems fine and whatnot, so I don't know.
Greg Atkins, who you offered a cup of coffee and accepted, is sipping a cup of coffee with his hands cuffed, sitting in an upright chair. Laraka is unmoving, laying on his side. Aaron Lang stepping into the living room from the kitchen. RJ's still just sitting there.
Lang, keep an eye on everyone out here. I want to talk to you, Greg. I look over at him in my room.
Sure. And Aaron Lang nods, steps forward, kind of hovers his hand over his gun, looks towards RJ, and over at the unconscious Laraka. And Greg kind of like tries to start to sit up.
I go into my room, you know, stand in the doorway and wait for him.
Okay. Takes time, and he makes his way in. You close the door?
I like three quarters of the way, close it, you know.
Yeah.
Offer him, you can sit on the bed if you want.
And he kind of sits down on the bed, and a bit of the coffee kind of slips over the side of the cup.
Well, I'm not going to try and repaint a picture of myself to you, because I know that's pretty futile. But you've been here this whole time. You've heard me talking to everyone. You saw me at the Golden King. You know, I'm not going to call myself one of you, but I'd make a deal. And I know you just want to get home and live your life. That's what we all want to do. I mean, your niece is proof of that, right? So let's make a deal. How can I let you go home?
You know, listening to you talk, I think a lot about why I decided to become a cop in the first place. Before all this other stuff, I think about why I wanted to do what I do. I wanted to, you know, protect people, serve my community, help people. I wanted to do those things. And you're the other kind of cop. You're the cop that wants justice. So I know things that you say, and maybe what you've done reflects a criminal. You are enacting a sense of justice, trying to find something like that. You are a cop. And that's okay. I don't want to make a deal with you, because deals are when one person gives and another receives. What I did is horrible, and I don't want to make up for it, because I can't. But sitting here all these hours, even when I was sitting in Golden King, this isn't who I want to be. I didn't want to be this person. I want to help you. And I don't care what you do with me when it's done. Whatever I have coming to me, I deserve it 1,000 times over.
You got a wife?
I do. And children.
And you're fine just leaving it all.
I killed my brother's daughter. My niece. I was there the day that she was born. Keith and I, we smoked cigars. I held her. I'm not just her uncle, I'm her godfather.
Can I... how genuine is it? I need to read on his gen... How genuine
yep.
is it? Can I roll for
roll this? Roll human intelligence.
Okay. this seems weird. Is it justified, right?
Make a roll.
Four on 78.
24, actually, because you're
going to... Oh, sorry.
But still, that's correct. Still a success. Here's what you pick up. In this moment, when you're looking him over, you're thinking back to how he was when he first came in here, how he was in Golden King, quiet, reserved, contemplative. And it kind of clicks. He has been thinking of this guilt, of this burden, from the second you guys breached the back door into the Kaichen. When he was sitting face down in the living room, just staring, just thinking, going through it, the motions, the thoughts. This is not a switch that has been flipped. You realize that this flame has been burning probably for a long time. At least since when he got the semblance that the gig might be up.
Okay. I mean, I guess deal wasn't really what I meant. I suppose I meant agreement, but if that's how you feel, there's no agreement needed. Are they gonna do anything to your family?
Not if you stop them. Can I run you through a hypothetical scenario?
Sure.
You let me walk out that front door. I get a cab straight to Minneapolis, back to my house. Maybe 6 o'clock in the morning. I go straight to the precinct. I get you documents proving that there's some shady things in Minneapolis. I'm talking falsified reports, doctored autopsies.
They knew you were there.
And they don't know how I'll get home. I run into anybody. I tell them I had to go out on foot, hiding in abandoned buildings because I was getting chased by you. I get those falsified reports. I get that proof, hard evidence, maybe something with Dan Winter's name on it. I bring it back to you. But if they think that I've been captured by you and then come back later tomorrow, that's a different story. Think about it. But in the meantime, I can tell you at least what I know about Blue Coda. It's a nightclub. A meeting place for mob and cops. All sorts of people come in and out. And I don't know who runs it, but it's not owned by a person. It's owned by a company. I don't know the name of the company.
When you said the mob, is this a specific family?
No. Mostly La Roca. But they haven't been here long. Right? They're Pittsburgh-based.
Yeah.
Mostly Chicago crime families that are trying to move into the area. But it's a place of peace among those different factions. It's a place for them to parlay with Dan and his men. And then sprinkle into it all these wackos, hitmen. The RJ types, the Bobby types.
You ever been here? You go here a lot?
Yeah.
Is there like a schedule or regular meeting time or something that you guys hang around? We're not going to be busting in the place, but...
Yeah, I mean, it was usually any time at night, but it's been closed ever since they mentioned his name. That old guy came in with a shotgun, killed maybe 4 of them.
Boys?
Yeah.
The researcher.
Older fat guy. I wasn't there that night, but I heard about it afterwards. Guy came in from the top, worked his way down, shot maybe like 4 of us.
All cops?
One of them was a cop. The rest were just...
Yeah.
Dan drove him back by himself with two other captains. He's got two captains with him.
Drove the guy, the cop that got shot?
No. Oh. Well, I'm talking about Weiss. In his own car.
Oh. Sorry. Yeah. I know the rest. Do you know the rest? Would you care to know the rest?
There's a lot of weird shit going on. But at the heart of it, it's just people doing things to other people. The whys and the whats, it's not... I don't care. But I do want to help you people.
Alright, we're gonna get you going then. Is he like really dirtied up? Like how bad is it?
Yeah, I mean he's cut a little bit, maybe a little bloodied. Some soot on his jacket too. But for the most part, I mean, presentable.
I want to walk out of the room and kind of like direct him towards my bathroom. Just sit here.
Yeah.
Clean yourself up. Take however much time you need.
He steps in. Yeah. Closes the door.
I kind of want to just like tidy up. Get myself a glass of water. Check if Lang needs anything. I'm just waiting for him to come out.
And so as you let Greg in, step back. You see RJ's got his neck bent back and is looking up towards the ceiling and like shuts his eyes pretty tightly. And then maybe if you go into the kitchen, look at something, come back. It looks like RJ's pretty deeply asleep.
Wait, sorry. RJ's asleep and did you say anything about LaRocca?
He hasn't moved since you went into your bedroom. Greg comes out rather quickly, his hands still cuffed, kind of shimmies out of the doorway.
Lang, I want to start heading towards the front door, wave him over with Atkins.
Yep.
I want you to, take Officer Atkins here to, I don't know, somewhere you deem, you and him deem fit to get picked up that isn't too suspicious from a taxi. I trust him. Just come back here when you're done.
Okay.
I want to open up the door for him. And then when they walk out, I kind of just want to...
Do you uncuff him?
I want to give Lang the key to the cuffs.
Right.
I want to kind of just lightly hold back Greg and say to him, right when he's walking out... I'm only telling you this because I find it's best that we be prepared for what's likely to come. They put a shotgun up to Weiss's head and blew it clean off his body. Don't get caught. I want you to see your family again. Some people don't get that. And I just pat him off.
He makes like two steps into the blizzard that you can see now is picking up pretty heavily and turns around. Could I have my wallet and my badge?
Yeah. Run back in.
Grab it and like throw it, and Aaron Lang catches it and puts it inside of Greg's coat pocket. Greg looks at you for a second, gives you a solemn nod. Aaron Lang turns him around, walks him to the car.
You know, I stand outside till they get out of eyesight.
Yep.
I walk back in.
They pull out and Aaron Lang drives off. RJ asleep. LaRocca supposedly asleep.
Where's Sarge?
Sarge has been, like, right at your heels.
Oh, he was probably sleeping the whole fucking time until we got back anyways, mm-hmm. so he's probably fine.
Yep.
All right. If that's the case, then, I mean, we're in town, so Lang can't be more than, like, an hour, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to... Is there a way where if I would do it in my room, if so, if I have an angle to open up my door and see everything, just sit on the bed?
Yep.
If not, sit at, like, kitchen table, dining room table area with right. Sarge and just kind of pet him and have him have his bone, let him chew on him, mm-hmm. you know, kind of brush him and groom him.
Yep.
But I want to stay up and just kind of, like, be quiet and just, you know.
Gotcha.
If everyone's sleeping, I'm kind of like, I don't have to figure out what I'm going to do.
Right. Taking time. Maybe about 45 minutes go by without movement out of the other two. Sarge is in good spirits. And you hear a car pull up. Car door close.
Footsteps approach.
Door opens. Aaron Lang walks in.
Does that wake RJ?
Nope.
So, okay, so they're asleep.
Seems to be. Aaron Lang, noticing that RJ is asleep, closes the door, kind of quieter. Looks towards you, steps up a little closer. You think that was the right call?
For me. Don't get me wrong, I'm looking out for you and the rest of my boys, but for me that was.
I agree. What's the worst that happens?
You're right. I just feel bad for him. But he did what he did.
I gotta say, listening to that, and he looks over at the sleeping RJ, lunatic talk. The only thing that he said tonight that makes any sense to me, that I can wrap my head around comfortably, everybody's got a choice. I'm pretty wired. You want to get some sleep?
You're the number two guy right now, Lang. How's it feel? You never been this high before.
I think this is a special case. I think that it's important. God damn, am I glad to be working it. Yeah. This feels really, really fucking important, Ray.
It is important. It's been important for a long time. I think we dealt with the easiest person to deal with so far. There's two more people in this room. I want to kill one of them.
I had a feeling you were going to say that. We got time.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not playing a game of minutes, but I want to stir the fucking pot, man.
I want to solve the case.
Oh, I know, but we got to... You think he's crazy, and we all do, because he's spouting some wild shit, man, right? But everything he's saying has a little bit of truth to it, and you know that even when you said that to me, that he's a lunatic. You saw those pictures, didn't you? He's talking about that cabin. He knows things that people only know about themselves.
Aaron Lang looks at the ground like he's thinking.
And he is crazy. But that doesn't mean he's lying. So, I like the idea of using him and stirring the pot.
I don't know. I'm trying so fucking hard here, Ray, to root myself and keep myself grounded. All these things, I can't stop seeing them as just distractions from the core, the main thing, the case, the kids, Nancy, Bobby, Ricky. For me, that's what this is. No God, no parasite. I don't care. Not about that. But that's just me.
Ray has his head down through this, and when he says the names of the all the people that have died,
mm-hmm.
He drops his head and doesn't bring it back up until Lang's done talking.
Mm-hmm.
He waits like 15, 20 seconds after he's done. And he's got some tears rolling down his face. And he just says, "That's not what this case is for me." And he goes to bed.
Stands up and goes in your bedroom? Or goes to sleep there at the table.
No, I stand up and go into my bedroom. Mm-hmm. I like 3/4 shut the door.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even get changed. I just...
Under the covers or just on top of the bed?
On top of the bed. I grab maybe like a throw blanket. Mm-hmm. I get Sarge. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sarge jumps up on the bed.
And I sleep like with my face towards the door too.
Right.
Like the doorway.
Mm-hmm. And you try to go to sleep?
Yeah.
What are you thinking about?
It's like I'm trying to find the shortest possible distance, time, space, actions, like everything, to make eye contact with John Sebastian LaRocca. It's like I'm tunnel vision from 4 miles away and I'm moving a billion miles an hour. And then like the end of the...
Sleep does take you though.
Yeah.
And you awake to being shaken.
Is it light out or no?
Kind of peek one eye open and it is. Aaron Lang looking down at you. Eyes wide.
What happened?
He's gone.
Who?
RJ, I turned my back for a second. He was asleep.
Where's LaRocca?
He's still there.
Okay.
Ray, none of the doors were open, not a breeze came in, nothing. It was like he fucking disappeared.
Lang, this isn't your fault. This isn't your fault. I like, get up out of bed, walk in like, the main space.
Mm-hmm.
Is LaRocca still, like, out, unconscious?
Exactly in the same exact position as when you went into the bedroom.
He's breathing?
You put your hand down... raggedly, but
I mean,
yes.
His chest. I see his chest.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I swear to God, I went to get another cup of coffee. I just stood up.
I take out a cigarette. I give it to him. I take one myself. Does he have a cup of coffee with him?
Yeah.
I take it from him.
Mm-hmm.
And dump it in the sink.
Okay.
Do you believe me now? He can do things. This is Ray, it's... Lang, go into my room. I'll be alright. And I pat on my holster. And I just sit at the dining room table. And I'm just staring at LaRocca.
Aaron Lang looks around frantically for a few more seconds and then just like looks at the door and then towards the back door, steps into your bedroom, and you can see like half of the doorway where you can see part of your bed, and he just lays on the bed on his back. If you catch a glimpse of the oven, it's 8 o'clock.
You know, I mean, he's not waking up in minutes, so while I'm sitting there, I want to just go over and investigate the area where RJ was sleeping.
Roll search.
82 on a 58.
Even with a failed roll, there are two things that you notice. Number one, and most obviously, the plate with a single piece of white bread. The white bread is missing, completely gone. The other thing is, as you're just looking around, you smell. It smells like chemicals. Like chemicals, but also like gunpowder. And you think back to this mixture of smells, and you've only smelled it one time prior, which was in the storage locker.
Was that the smell? There was a smell in there like immediately upon entering.
Yes. Right?
It wasn't like after the shit went down. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I gotta raise
it. And that smell cleared after what happened.
Oh, bitch.
So.
Ticking.
Jerry.
Yeah.
You go to sleep, exhausted, wake up with the sun shining through. Mm-hmm. Your wife laying in bed next to you. Look over at the alarm clock. It reads 8 o'clock.
I get right up and I go make myself some coffee.
Make some coffee?
Yeah. Try to freshen up.
Freshen up.
Ready for the day.
Ready for the day. Where you head?
Fucking work.
Go to the police station?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Roy.
Straight to it.
We established your consenting abduction of Caleb O'Connor. Handcuffed him to a bed in your guest bedroom. He fell asleep. You fell asleep. You wake up. Go into the guest bedroom. Caleb is still there. You uncuff him. He rises out of bed. Caleb, you awake. Moments later, Roy enters the room, steps over, uncuffs you, and he's just, like, looking at you after you rise out of bed.
How you feeling?
Better than I have in a while.
Yeah.
I feel like I have a chance. Something you don't get always. Fresh start. Find out whoever I am. Whatever I'm supposed to be doing. Myself, you know?
You care to explain to me what happened last night with your mother?
Like I said, maybe that wasn't me. Maybe that's not who I'm supposed to be. But maybe that's the problem in general, that I'm waiting for this person that I'm supposed to be. Things I need to do when I have a chance to just be myself. Find who I am.
Do you know who you are yet?
I think we're building to it.
All right. You want some coffee?
Yeah. Coffee sounds nice.
Start making my way downstairs.
make your way downstairs. You see April's door is open. Her bed isn't made.
She's not in the room?
No.
Okay. Yeah, walk downstairs, see if she's down there.
No.
It's January 7th. What day of the week is it?
Thursday.
Okay, so it's she's at school. Okay. Does she typically make her bed?
Not always.
Okay. All right. Oh, yeah, I get the coffee pot going.
Okay, get the coffee pot going. Coffee's brewed. The two of you share a cup. And what are you guys doing?
Are you going into work today?
I don't think there's a way I can't, right? Whatever's in my head, whatever I need to figure out. I don't want to say that it starts and ends there or force myself into some narrative about who I'm supposed to be, but we have a job to do. No matter what. Some good that we can bring out of this. Somewhere. We might have to dig for it, but
I hope it's good that's coming out of you, man.
Guess we'll see.
Sounds like we're going to work then. Yeah. I get ready for work. I get the fuck up, finish my coffee, eat like a banana, and change, get ready to go into the office.
What are you doing, Caleb?
Sitting at the table.
Watching the chicken meander around the room, pecking at the floorboards.
Going to Roy's cabinets. Does he have any cereal?
You looked right at me.
I looked right at Alex.
Yeah.
Dude, he's a fuck. He's got to be a Raisin Bran kind of guy, or like a Special K.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's fucking loaded on Raisin Bran.
Take a handful of Raisin Bran, take out the raisins, just the flakes, drop them on the floor.
You're getting ready. You don't see this happening. Chicken hops over excitedly and starts pecking at him. I mean, you're watching it. It's not even like he's eating them. He's just like breaking them in half, just pecking at the flakes.
I imagine I feel like a fucking shiver down my spine as this is happening while I'm upstairs.
Chicken looks rather happy. You finish getting ready, Roy.
Okay, yeah, head back downstairs and like I'm ready to go. Like I got keys in hand. I'm ready.
This thing's hungry. Chicken.
It has food. It's been eating.
All right. I sweep the crumbs of the Raisin Bran under the nearest cabinet, and I follow behind.
I watch you do that.
That's a horrible thing to do. What the fuck is wrong
with
you?
It's a new me. Oh, boy. Sweep all his fucking shit under the
couch.
That's
how you get ants, you fucking asshole.
Ants, I was abducted last night by this man.
The least you can do for him is get some ants.
He tied up my feet. Fuck, I'm being punished with this, with these crumbs under my cabinet right now. All right. I'm like, you ready to go? You need anything before we head out?
No, I'm okay. Did you grab my gun last night?
I did. Yeah, it's in the car.
I follow him out?
Out to the PT Cruiser.
And as we're, like, getting in the car, like, I'm like, I, like, look back and I'm like, yeah, by the way, you can explain it to your mom however you want, but maybe you shouldn't be. You should be thinking about where you're sleeping. That's all I'm going to say. Get in the car.
Heading?
To work.
To work. Ray, are you leaving the position that we left you off in?
No.
Gotcha. So, Jerry, you are the first one to arrive to work. The blizzard has subsided. I forgot to mention this, but clear skies lot of snow around, huge snow banks that have been piled up. Even on your drive to work, you can see them on either side of the road, and even some down the median. You pull into work, you see Longo's car, a couple other cars kind of scattered around. What do you do?
I walk in.
You walk in. Making your way in, you see some people at the reception desk and the stairs leading down to the VCU.
Who's there?
At the reception desk?
Yeah.
Just looks like some day shift patrol officers that you haven't interacted with yet who are just having a conversation.
Okay. I'm going down to my desk.
Down to your desk. Make your way down to the VCU. Lieutenant Longo is down there, and it looks like he's having a conversation with two people, a man and a woman.
Do I recognize these people?
You do not. But as you step down there, Longo kind of looks over the shoulder of the man and says, Jerry, Keith, Claire, please, I'd like you to meet Detective Jerry Flores. He's one of the officers who's been assigned to your daughter's case. Jerry, this is the parents. We just got back from the morgue, and they have positively ID'd the body of Emma Atkins.
Do they seem upset?
They look... The woman looks in shambles.
Okay.
Mascara running, hair frizzy. The man looks a little bit more together, but you can still see, like, red bags under his eyes, and he sticks his hand out to shake.
I go and I shake both of their hands, and I say, I'm very sorry to hear about your daughter.
The man speaks. That's nice of you, to say. Glenn here tells me that you are all hard at work on this, and I just want to say thank you for that.
Absolutely. This is our duty.
We'll be staying at a motel nearby, and I already gave the details to Glenn.
All right, perfect.
But we were just leaving, so.
All right, no problem. Did Lieutenant take the phone numbers?
Do you ask that?
Yes.
Or?
Yes.
And Longo like looks over, and he just gives you a nod.
All right, we'll probably be in contact with you shortly.
Okay. All right, and the two of them make their way out. As they step out, you see, like, their feet disappear into the top of the stairs. Longo looks at you. Why did I just get a notification that there was a carjacking reported and the assailant was a shirtless, shoeless man covered in cuts matching the description of the guy sitting in Ray's house?
What the fuck are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Just hit my desk maybe 5 minutes ago. Lady got carjacked, middle of the city. Perp matches the exact description of RJ.
That was...
Where's everybody else?
We left. We left the house last night. I don't know where they're. I don't know where they're at. I left. I took Becker home.
Get in contact with Ray.
Okay. I go to my radio, or can I call him?
Do you have?
Does he have like a home phone?
Does Ray have a home phone? Yeah.
Do I have the number?
He's your partner. Like, he's your partner. Right. He's your partner. You would have the home phone number.
Fucking phone.
Bing it in. Ray, your phone rings.
I grab it rather quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Where are you?
What the fuck? You call his house and ask him where he is?
That's the first question.
Well, but the question is, why aren't you at work?
It's good to hear you, Jerry.
Are you coming into work?
I am going to be taking a personal day, but if you would like to come visit me...
On my way. I hang up, I get in my car, and I head over.
Heading out, as you are walking out the front doors, Roy and Caleb, you guys pull up to see Jerry walking out of the front doors of the precinct. You see their car pull in.
I imagine I'm like, do they see me walking out, like, open the door?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm like walking frantically. I'm like in the middle of putting on my jacket. I'm like taking out a fucking cigarette, like putting it in my mouth.
I pull up and
I'm walking fast to my car.
I'm like 2 miles an hour next to you, rolling my window down. I'm like, what's up? What's up, man? Good morning.
Ray let RJ go.
What?
Ray let RJ go. I'm going to his house right now.
All right.
If you want to go talk to Lieutenant in there. You can. Or you can come with me and see what's going on.
We'll meet you there.
All right.
And I floor it and I skid in the snow a little bit. Yes.
Speeding off towards Ray's house. Ray, anything that you do in this in-between time?
No, LaRocca is still as out as ever, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm really cooling off right now, I think.
Okay.
I think Ray's really enjoying he gets another cigarette. I think he's almost waiting at the door, like in a robe with a coffee, and he's gonna greet Jerry. Like he's
you guys,
Lang's freaking out, and
you guys all pull up to Ray's double wide to see the door ajar. Ray's got his elbow up on the door frame with a cup of coffee, wearing a robe. Aaron Lang is still asleep.
Mm-hmm.
You guys pull up.
I get out of my car rather pissed seeming. And I start walking up to you. What the fuck happened?
Hold your horses. I didn't let anyone go. Talk to Lang.
Are you fucking... I walk in.
You walk in.
I walk up to Lang.
You know, and then before he gets to the room, I want to say, hold your fucking horses. Talk to the damn kid first.
You walk in to see LaRocca still in the same position as you guys left. No Greg Adkins, no RJ. Aaron Lang is not in view at this moment.
I like stop in my tracks and I turn around to you. Did he let the other one go too? Or was that you?
We're gonna wait till everyone gets here. They haven't pulled up yet, right?
They probably just pull up right behind Jerry.
We're gonna wait till they get inside. We're gonna wake Lang up, and then we're gonna talk about what happened.
Caleb and Roy, you guys pull up. Presumably get out of the car.
Right. Yeah, without a word, get out, shut my door.
Mm-hmm.
Start walking up to the house. I imagine maybe the door's open even.
Mm-hmm.
This is happening.
So. Yep. Step in to see the same scene that I described. Jerry, like I said, you do not see Aaron Lang in this room.
Where are the other two? What's going on?
Good question. Are we a team? We can't leave each other for 8 hours without something happening that none of us know about.
Lang, I go in the room, I shake him a little bit.
Yeah, you guys see Ray step into Ray's own bedroom. Aaron Lang is asleep on the bed. Ray shakes him, and Aaron Lang blinks hard and looks up. Presumably, I imagine, to Ray, like, standing over him and the three of you looking in through the doorway. Aaron Lang, like, looks over. Good morning.
Well, you smell that?
The three of you roll alertness.
Rolled a 2.
18 on a 67.
17 on a 68.
The three of you, and I will describe this because it has faded quite a bit. There is a strange smell in here. That's all you're able to pinpoint what it is. The pungency, bitter, sweet, sour, salty. Not able to tell, but a strange smell, maybe slightly chemically. Slightly. Because it has faded quite a bit. Aaron Lang, still looking up, kind of like rubs his eyebrow, sits up straight.
What is that?
Well, we were wrapping up here. Lang was ready to relieve me. Slipped into my room, took a short sleep. Lang was on watch, and as he described it, he turned his head to get a cup of coffee, turned back, and RJ was gone.
Sarge, I swear to God, not more than half a second. I didn't even walk over to the coffee pot. I just turned my head, turned back, and he was fucking gone. Front door closed, back door closed. Not a breeze, not a shift, nothing. I swear to God.
No, Lang, this is my fault. All right, you hadn't slept in days.
No, man. No, Sarge, don't fucking do that to me. Don't do that to me.
It's all right, Lang. We overworked you.
No, you, Ray. Please.
Oh, I'm with you on this one, Lang. Y'all do remember where that smell was from, right? I know it's faint, but...
No.
The only other time I've smelled this was... when we walked into the storage locker room. The presence of that thing is really with RJ. It's tough to get anyone else on board with us on that fact. But I think we got another one.
I have never experienced anything like that in my life. You saw. I slept. Okay, maybe an hour. Sure, but I slept. I was locked in. And I am telling you that RJ fucking disappeared.
With Atkins?
Okay, yeah, how about Atkins?
Looks towards Ray.
Oh no, that one's on me. You see, I had a good chat with Atkins. And he's a dead man walking, and he knows it. And when we busted into the Golden King, we were like the straw that broke the camel's back, as they say. He doesn't care about leaving his wife and kids behind. The guilt has overcome him. He has nothing more to tell. That's a damn winner's side that will incriminate us more than it'll incriminate his entire family. I sent Lang to go drop him off. He was handcuffed the whole time until we dropped him. He called a cab back to his house. He got there in enough time before he would have to go into the precinct this morning. Freshen up. He could just say he peeled out of there. Out of the Golden King. Had to hide out. Abandoned buildings all around.
You believe him?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I really haven't felt a lot of conviction on my decisions lately. Even when I shot that guy through the gas station, I still wasn't feeling what I'm feeling now about the direction that we're headed in.
You just let the guy go.
Yeah.
You don't think we could have, I don't know, learned something?
Oh, we did. Forgive me. I did. The blue coda. So, this has mostly recently been a La Raca mob spot. It has a lot of Chicago mob activity as well, but La Raca's been there. He told me it's owned by a company of sorts. It's not owned by a single person. And He said they, you know, they gather there various nights throughout the week, but they've been cooling it off ever since our buddy Weiss Clay pulled through. He said he came in through the ceiling, the top, took out four of the guys in there before Dan and two of his buddies stopped him, drove him back in his own car, and did the deed.
How does he know this?
He was there.
And they told him that they did the deed?
No. I told him. Because I wanted him to know what is going to happen to him.
You should have just killed him.
Well, the good, the only potential good that could come out of this is, well, I told you I believed him, and he knows this is evil. And we were the first people that have ever fought back against this in front of him. He's gonna try and get us something. Some type of incriminating document. He's around it all. He's been covering it up for all this time.
And now RJ's out. Separate party.
So why do you let him go, but you keep this guy? What do you got on him?
Well, I told Lang. I want to stir the pot. And this guy's the big spoon.
He wants to kill him, he said.
Was that Lang?
Yeah, that was Lang.
Why did he just say that?
Because I want to kill him. I don't desire to murder that boy. I think we should get rid of that kid.
What's Lang's face look like at that?
Blank. As if hearing something you've heard 1,000 times before.
So this kid's useless, and now you want to kill him. He's done. He's trash now.
RJ left because he wanted to. Adkins left because he could potentially give us something. Potentially.
But why would he?
That's the only possible way there could be any good in the rest of his life. The only way he could see...
Do you think he's good?
No. No. He's a piece of shit. I mean, like, we've already established that most of us have done pretty piece of shit things throughout this whole...
Not like him.
I agree.
If I could, Jerry. Greg seemed remorseful. Deeply so, at least, when I talked to him. Like Ray said, I drove him to a bus depot. He caught a cab from there, and we talked a little bit on the car ride. I really think he just wants to help now, and he felt helpless, and we gave him hope that he can do something against this. And yeah, I mean, I get it. He killed his niece, but he didn't want to. It wasn't fun for him. Not like it was RJ. RJ talking about all this stuff that, oh, I had to do it. I had to do it. And like I said to Ray, I mean, yeah, RJ's right. Everybody has a choice, right? But that doesn't mean that you have to like the choices that are presented to you. I know I'm an officer, you are detectives, and Roy is a sergeant, but I think it was the right call.
When did you let him go, Ray? How long ago?
Before he went to bed, right? So,
if you look over at the clock, maybe it's been about like 3 hours?
Yeah, I was going to put it around 4 a.m. Said he'd be home by around 6. Said that'd give him more than enough time to get changed at his house, get ready to go to work.
So we have about 24 hours to see if he's a man of his word or if he's out to kill us now and has the power of the Minneapolis Police Department.
But... yeah, I guess you're right, but... he's... even if that's the case, he doesn't have any power. He's fucked. He's dead, if that's the case. That's why we let him go. It doesn't make a difference whether he lives or dies. Damn Winters is gonna feel the same damn way that we busted in the buffet.
I agree.
So I'm sorry. I had to make some decisions last night.
Look, from the moment Jerry put his hands on that cop at the gas station, we've been gambling. Have we not?
Yeah.
Look, I don't trust that guy. I don't trust Atkins. I don't like him. But for some reason, I'm feeling okay with another gamble.
What do we do now? Kill this kid?
When you guys left, I chatted with RJ for a little. He told me that the LaRoccas would absolutely be at the cabin whenever it was all gonna go down. I don't know. We have a LaRocca. We got a picture of a cabin. Let's provoke someone to make a move that isn't us. We've been reacting this whole time. This kid, he's playing stupid, but he's heard us. He's heard us talking this whole time. I mean, not, he's unconscious now, but he's been with us the whole night. If he gets back live, he's gonna tell someone something about what's going on. RJ escaped. Some cop was with him. I just don't see anything good coming out of him living. He got in the rat race. He knew it was gonna happen.
You know if this kid's uncles and cousins and family members are gonna care if we waste them? Or could we save them for when we do go to the ranch? As something to bargain with, maybe? Or, hell, as something to provoke them with?
I could get with that. I just don't know where the hell we're gonna keep this kid.
Right.
We can't arrest him.
Right.
I might point out we could use him as a bargaining chip before that to get to said ranch if somebody in his family knows where it's at. Do you have any contacts? Anything, Ray, that you can get a message across to these guys?
Yeah, I could try something. Yeah, you'll have to give me a day. I'll try something.
Standing, looking over the bed as Aaron Lang still sits up looking, bouncing back and forth as these people are talking, mulling over their options, the LFVCU plots their next steps in a new day. Dawn has come, and the day is before you. That is where we're going to pick up next session.
Thanks for listening to this episode of LFVCU, a Nasty Table production. Please be sure to follow us on social media. We're active on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and TikTok at The Nasty Table.